Why should New Zealanders care so much about this?
Because your children will curse you if you don't.
The Wire.
Last week, TV broadcasts of a civil defence briefing on the Port Hills fire obstructed the New Zealand Sign Language interpreter who was translating the briefing for the deaf community. I spoke to Rahani Alexander from Deaf Aotearoa about why this was a step back after a push to make civil defence more accessible.
Following the earthquakes in November, we worked quite hard behind the scenes to make sure that there was interpreted information in New Zealand Sign Language available to the deaf community. And after the earthquake stuff kind of calmed down a little bit, we arranged to meet with Civil Defence Emergency Management in Wellington to discuss how we could kind of facilitate that a little bit better in future. No one wants there to be a next time, but there always will be a next time. And Civil Defence are actually really open. They understand their obligations and making sure information is accessible to everybody. So we worked quite well with them. And then the fires sort of happened in Christchurch last week, and we were directly in communication with them. In the first instance, we made our own video translations of official Civil Defence information so that we could get some instant information to the deaf community. And then as soon as we could and we knew there was going to be an official briefing, Civil Defence came to us and asked could we please provide an interpreter, which we arranged. And so we had an interpreter present and waiting ready for Bill English's briefing after he had his helicopter flyover of Port Hills. And it was just really disappointing to see that some of the major news organisations didn't cover the briefing live, but the ones who did sort of failed to frame the interpreter appropriately in their camera shots. So, you know, you could kind of see half of her face. You couldn't see the movements of her arms. You really need to see like a good, clear mid-shot of an interpreter from the waist up to be able to get the full access to the language and therefore the information. So, yeah, it was really disappointing to see, you know, Civil Defence and Deaf Aotearoa and our interpreter booking agency iSign worked quite hard to make sure an interpreter was there, but then you kind of lose control of what happens from there on in. And you know, it's one thing to have someone there processing and passing on the information, but if nobody's able to see it, it sort of becomes a moot point.
Mm-hmm. Was the media the only way that this information could be received? Were they the only ones who were broadcasting the briefing?
Yes, so with the earthquakes in November, the briefings were coming from the Civil Defence Emergency Management bunker below the Beehive, and that was a much more controlled environment, and Civil Defence were actually live streaming those briefings via their Twitter and Facebook, so we had kind of a reliable channel there, and we were able to kind of brief Civil Defence on really what's required to be able to see the interpreter. And in this situation, they weren't actually able to do that for us, and I suspect, I'm not sure, but I suspect that's because it's on the ground, it was outdoors, there was a lot going on, you know, you could hear the helicopters, and you know, there were complaints from everyone that you couldn't hear Bill English because of the noise of the helicopters. They're actually literally trying to fight the fires just there. So Civil Defence wasn't able to provide that for us, and it was a much more uncontrolled environment, which made it a lot more difficult for us to ensure that there was adequate coverage.
Which media outlets in particular failed to show the interpreter?
Well, what we did when we heard from Civil Defence that they wouldn't be able to live stream on their own, we kind of monitored everything we could. So we had, you know, we were aware that the briefing was sort of timed to coincide with the end of the midday news bulletins on 1 and 3. And they finished their bulletins before the briefing started. So from then on, we were just trying to find commitments from other organisations that they'd be live streaming. I think Stuff was one, and that was the one we focused on. And then once it started, TVNZ did start live streaming it on their website as well. So those were the two we were looking at. And I did notice the Stuff coverage did improve once the Facebook Live comments started coming through. You know, we can't see the interpreter, we can't see the interpreter. So there was a bit of an improvement, but not enough. And again, it was the nature of the sort of uncontrolled environment, the media scrum, and that finding the balance between the technicalities of getting a good shot of the person speaking and actually making sure that this is emergency information that's accessible to everyone, because obviously it is emergency information. It's not just about, excuse me, it's not just about the news story. It's about making sure people are safe. And there's a significant population of deaf community in Christchurch, and they needed to know what was going on.
Is this just kind of like another frustration for the deaf community? You know, do they often come across moments where they're unable to receive information that's really crucial like this?
Yeah, emergency situations, natural disasters are kind of an instance where it becomes more visible. And, you know, it is kind of recommended or dictated by the UNCRPD, which we are a signatory to, the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, which kind of does state that signatories have a responsibility to make information accessible. So, you know, civil defence is doing their part, but you kind of think our state broadcaster would at least be interested as well. So it is frustrating, yes, and it can be dangerous.
And what's the core issue at play there? Is it just a general lack of awareness? Is it just ignorance, or is it elitism almost?
I don't know if I'd go so far as elitism, but it is an awareness thing, and we have been working with civil defence on how we can work to educate broadcasters and maybe overcome some of the obstacles that they might place in front of us. I know in November when I was talking to both 3 and 1 about whether we could have an interpreter present during their bulletins and their breakfast shows and that kind of thing, the objections were purely technical. There's too many people in the newsroom, it's too busy, we can't set up another camera, getting graphics to put a window in the screen is too difficult, that kind of thing. So it is an education thing, and maybe helping them to overcome those difficulties or making them understand why those aren't really good objections. There's really no objection to making information accessible to everyone in an emergency.
As you said before, you don't want there to be a next time, but do you think that after, you know, with some of this pushback from you guys, say, and from civil defence perhaps, in case of an emergency next time, do you think we're going to see an increased amount of accessibility?
I hope so. I mean, I'd like to think it's going to be quite a long time before there's another emergency, and that will give us time to get some things in place, some procedures, some protocols with both civil defence and with broadcasters. That's the aim. And to a point where a state of civil defence emergency is declared and someone puts something into place and it's go, we get the interpreter, they turn up here, they put in front of a camera and everything's fantastic. That's the ideal hope. And yeah, hopefully we don't have something that happens next week that puts us in the same position we were in last week.
Do you guys have interpreters on call to jump up and interpret these kind of things?
Yeah, that's something we're working on, is having a call list of interpreters who are ready and willing and are able to literally, yeah, be on call and jump up and go.
And is that, you have those kind of contacts in every city, in every kind of community?
Yes, yeah, so Deaf Aotearoa, one of our services is iSign, an interpreting booking agency, and we have 80 contracted New Zealand Sign Language interpreters around the country. And so part of what we do is when something like this happens is that we get on the phone to those interpreters and say, who can go? And usually there's no lack of people who are able to go.
So around, you know, up to 8 or 10,000.
Shit.
The Wire.